From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, May 18th, 2026. Three members of the Robbins family and an employee are among those still hospitalized following the explosion at the company's lumber mill in Searsmont Friday. Four first responders are also being treated for injuries. Patty White has more.
According to a press release from Robbins Lumber, owners and brothers James and Alden, along with Alden's daughter Lily Robbins, an EMS volunteer, are being treated at Mass General Brigham's Burn Center in Boston. Maine Medical Center says it's currently treating five patients injured in the blast, and two have been discharged. There are GoFundMes for at least two of the patients, including Belmont firefighter Catherine Page. In a social media post, her husband says Page will be hospitalized in the burn unit for more than a month and needs several surgeries. Firefighter Jacob Spaulding also faces several surgeries after suffering serious burns, according to posts from family members and a GoFundMe. Among those who've been discharged are Aaron Heald of the Lincolnville Fire Department. Photos online show Heald smiling with heavily bandaged hands. The Midcoast Villager is reporting that Appleton Fire Chief Brent Mariner was released from Maine Medical Center Sunday. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And state and federal investigators say they are still at the scene of the explosion and fire at the Searsmont Lumber Mill. Investigators from the Maine Office of State Fire Marshal and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives have not said what caused the fire. They say high winds have caused flying debris, which is interfering with investigation efforts. But agents say they have conducted more than 50 interviews and that while the investigation continues, some areas of the mill have been cleared to resume operations. The University of Maine system today unanimously approved a 4% increase in tuition, citing rising operating costs. Full-time in-state and Canadian undergraduate students will pay $1,000 more on average next year, according to a release from system officials. That puts year tuition at just over $24,000. System officials say they are projecting stable enrollments overall despite a declining number of high school graduates in New England. The Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention says two more HIV cases have been confirmed in Penobscot County, bringing the total number to 43. The state says nearly all of those who were diagnosed also tested positive for hepatitis C. The outbreak began in October 2023. The CDC says that over the previous 5 years, it has confirmed an average of two new HIV diagnoses per year. International student enrollment has held steady in Maine this year, even as it's fallen nationwide. According to the latest federal data, Ari Snyder has more.
More than 3,300 international visa students were enrolled at secondary and post-secondary institutions in Maine in April, virtually unchanged from the same month last year, according to a Department of Homeland Security database. And the UMaine system saw a 13% jump in international student numbers compared to the previous academic year, according to a spokesperson. Over the same period, federal data show the number of foreign students fell by about 4% nationally, against the backdrop of President Donald Trump's immigration crackdown and efforts to revoke student visas. According to one analysis, international students contributed nearly $90 million to the Maine economy during the last school year that began in 2024. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
A new report from the Pew Charitable Trust finds that builders could be developing homes twice as quickly and save thousands of dollars with pre-approved plans. But the concept has not quite taken off yet in Maine. Pre-approved plans are housing blueprints that are already drawn and generally found to be compliant with local zoning and building codes. The Pew Charitable Trust says projects using these plans can be developed twice as quickly because they've already received discretionary permits. The report also finds that pre-approved plans can reduce overall development costs by $5,000 to $10,000 for a single-family home and more for multi-unit buildings. The report mentions Maine because the legislature passed a law last year that allows the state to provide municipalities with pre-approved building plans, but the work of developing those plans has largely been unfunded. Pew notes that pre-approved building plans are not a substitute for broader housing reforms, but one tool to help states and communities add to their housing stock. The number of Native Americans enrolling in college has declined by 40% in the last decade and a half. The disparities are particularly noticeable in science and engineering, where Native American students are underrepresented at all higher education levels. The University of Maine system is taking steps designed to address this trend. Maddie Smith visited UMaine Machias in Passamaquoddy ancestral territory to see how professors are combining Western and Indigenous scientific perspectives in the classroom.
Ashton O'Reilly Owen says when growing up on the Passamaquoddy Reservation in Perry, her elders and teachers had a way of talking to kids about the natural world.
Growing up, I looked at the earth as like Mother Earth. We were people of the earth, and we all are one in a way.
Now, as a second-year student at the University of Maine and Machias, O'Reilly Owen notes how modern science has a different view of living things and of the earth itself.
There's a lot of like scientific terms, and it's very technical and like separated, and I just think they can be put together, yes, but that's kind of like a nuance.
At UMaine Machias, that nuance is the introduction of Indigenous knowledge into the classroom.
Some Indigenous languages never separated people from the living world. In their grammar, a wolf was not an it.
Noel Louie, Passamaquoddy elder in residence, is speaking to a human populations and global environment class about how Indigenous language describes the natural world and how Native views of science have been displaced by the West.
When modern science arrived with its Latin names and tidy classifications, the language of relationship was stripped away and replaced with the language of ownership, turning relatives into specimens and kin into things.
Students in these classes may learn how to identify a plant using Western classification, but then learn how it's used in Indigenous tradition for medicinal purposes. The effort to incorporate Native knowledge into the curriculum here is only a few years old, but it's based on work established more than a decade ago at the University of Maine in Orono.
So it's not just a program to fill a gap of dropping off number of Native students in science fields. It's actually creating more resilience for all students who are exposed to Indigenous science in their science education.
Dr. Darren Ranko is the co-founder of Wabanaki Youth in Science, through which he sets out to encourage Indigenous middle and high school students in their science education. The next challenge, he says, will be to bring that same support to students at the college level.
We're not just telling them they're valuable, we're demonstrating it, right? The action is, it's now in the curriculum. You can see Indigenous knowledge, you know, a thing that might have in previous generations been dismissed as not adequate or not scientific.
For traditional science instructors at Machias, such as Dr. Eric Jones, this is a new take on natural science gleaned from generations of Indigenous observations.
I can teach technical tools like forest sampling. That's perfectly fine and straightforward. But there's philosophical and theoretical tools as well, right? And perspective is one of those. It's a pretty powerful one, arguably.
I often wonder how differently the planet might have been treated if we had kept speaking to the forest as if it were someone.
If you don't know who you are, where you come from, are you really telling the whole story of what you're doing in science? Because storytelling is part of science. And if you don't know who you are, where you come from, then are you really telling a great story or an accurate story?
Penobscot Knowledge Keeper Kyle Lohler, who joins Jones and his class when out doing field work, says he reminds all of the students that everyone is Indigenous.
Might not be to these lands, but you're Indigenous somewhere on this planet. And that's where you need to start reconnecting the roots of who you are.
Some Indigenous students in the class say this work has reconnected them with traditional Native ways of seeing the world. Passamaquoddy member Mari Look, a second-year psychology student at Machias, says she grew up with her father off the reservation, isolated from the Native perspective on natural resources.
He's a fisherman, and so it's more of like, oh yeah, we're hungry, we need to eat, we're taking this resource. Noel Louie has kind of brought into the perspective of, it's been here before us. We have to value it and respect it as well as its own being. So it's really helped, I feel, me grow as a person. And I feel like more people should have the opportunity of experiencing these lectures. I really do.
UMaine's Darren Ranko believes the initiative may be making a difference. He says the school has seen an almost 20% increase in Indigenous students and science majors at the Orono campus over the last decade, and hopes that that trend will also take hold here in Machias. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, penny pinching in today's economy. I'm Nicole Ugrisco. Thanks for listening.